You know, we love the word. I've noticed something, even just being out and about. We love the word blessed. You see it on t-shirts. You see it, you know, people, as I'm riding, sometimes they figure out, well, sometimes I guess they're trying to communicate to me that they're Christians. You know, I'll have people say, have a blessed day. Or, you know, maybe a lot of times when I go to church, I guess they figure that's what I want to hear. Or, you know, you've heard, too blessed to be stressed. And we have, unfortunately, some folks that have built a whole religion, basically, around the whole idea of being blessed. And, of course, the problem with that is, for one thing, we get a very narrow definition of what being blessed means. It might exclude things that eventually lead to blessing in our lives, although they're hard to go through in the beginning. And in order to have that kind of theology, you've got to leave out a lot of the things that happened in the Scripture. But what in the world do we mean anyway? The common usage of the word generally implies at least some sort of divine source. We might say that it, you know, somebody, you know, blessed me with this or blessed me with that. But we're generally talking about a good thing. And usually we're referring to someone, not always, but usually referring to somebody who has, it's either come from God or somebody, or it's come through somebody who has some sort of a perceived authority from God.
Doesn't the word bless mean given?
No, actually, I'm going to get to that. Hold on.
Okay, thank you.
Because we're going to look next at what the Bible says about the word. And if you look in the Old Testament, it's interesting. And I'm not a linguist, so I don't know the complete ins and outs of this. But the first definition, if you look up the word, it usually gets translated blessed in the Old Testament, is the word is to kneel. Which I thought was kind of strange, but what I think we can gather from that is that whole idea of authority, that blessings come from somebody who has the ability to give them. And then the New Testament uses it more as an adjective. You know, we talking about the Beatitudes, blessed are they who, dot, dot, dot. But I remember the first time I saw a translation that rendered that word happy. And you know, happy and I have this sort of uneasy relationship. And so I saw that and it just bothered me to no end. It's like, what do you mean happy? That's blessed, that's not happy. But guess what? The word means happy. Happier are they. So that translation was not wrong. They chose not to use the religious word that we all know as Christians and use the word that other people can relate to. Happy. We tend to spiritualize ordinary words because we're used to hearing, and a lot of that came out of the King James, but we're used to hearing things a certain way in church, and we know what people, you know, we think we know what they mean, but we tend, by when we use those words, to exclude people who aren't familiar. You also see the word used in the New Testament as a verb, and it can mean to praise, or it can mean to consecrate, or to invoke blessings on, or to consecrate through prayer. Or to bestow blessings on, or once again, make happy. And when we talk about, we use the word all the time. All the PowerPoints you see, you know, at the end, Linda always puts on there, go be a blessing. And I like to say when we're leaving, you've been blessed, go be a blessing. I put that on the end of the prayer request usually when I post them online. Go be a blessing. Well, there's a reason for that. The reason for that is that all of us have been blessed. All of us have things from God that were given to us just because He loves us. And because we live in the good world that He created. And those blessings, wherever we think they came from, they ultimately came from Yahweh.
Do you believe that God allowed us to create all the world?
I can't really understand you, Kelly, but we can talk afterwards.
Why don't you listen, Kelly?
Do you believe God allowed us to create all the world?
I can't really understand you, and this is not the time. We can talk after church, after service. But they are given to us. The blessings are given to us to give to other people. That's why we have them. I remember the first time I encountered this, and it's really something every Christian should understand, but I never had it put that way to me before. Until I was sitting in a Bible study back at Hillcrest Church, actually where Linda and I met. It was right after I got out of that we met, because they said you were supposed to teach. What that whole story I'm not going to get into, but in any case, they had this study. Of course, now here I am, a blind person, and I get in the middle of this study, and they're teaching you everything by having you memorize pictures. But we got through it, and one of the first things we learned was out of the passage that we're about to read, Genesis chapter 12, starting in verse 1. And it was this idea that the reason why you're blessed is so that you can be a blessing. And it stuck with me. Yeah, that makes sense. That's how God works. So let's look at it together. It's again Genesis chapter 12, starting in verse 1. And Yahweh said to Abram, go out from your land and from your relatives, and from the house of your father to the land that I will show you. And I will make you a great nation. And I will bless you, and I will make your name great. And you will be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse those who curse you. And all the families of the earth will be blessed in you. And the blessing that God gave to Abraham, and I'm saying Abraham, of course in this passage he hasn't gotten that name yet. He didn't get that name for a couple of chapters. He's still Abram here. But he was blessed. If you read, find out that he actually was a rich man. God did give him material wealth. And there's nothing, you know, there's nothing wrong with having money. The question is, how are you going to use it? Are you going to glorify God with it or not? But he blessed him with financial wealth. He also blessed him with descendants. Descendants that cannot be numbered, just as he promised. But the fullness of that blessing was delayed. We all know the story of how Isaac didn't come along until he was 99 years old. But God did do what he said he would do. And he had the son with Sarah. But he didn't get to see Jacob and his 12 sons. And everything that would come after that, he only got to see a part of it. But God did what he said he would do. He was setting apart a people from himself, for himself, in order to accomplish his purpose. From Abraham would come the nation of Israel. From the nation of Israel would come Jesus Christ. And from Jesus would come the salvation of anyone who calls on his name. And the idea of blessed to be a blessing really was not a new concept. That was the first time I got exposed to it, but it really wasn't a new concept even in the scripture. It goes all the way back to creation. God created life to produce life. In the first blessing that we have in scripture, in Genesis 1:28, he says in part, God blessed them, God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. We were created to create life, to reproduce. All life was designed that way. That's just one reason why the idea that it's okay to take life, whether it's later on after disability or old age, or whether it's still in the womb, is such an anathema to who God is. That's why, one of the reasons why, shall we call them alternative lifestyles, are displeasing to God, because that's not the way he designed us. He designed us to reproduce and create more life. When Jesus gave instructions to his disciples, he said, give out of what I have given you. He said, and these were the things that he did. He said, heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give, he says. And I eliminated the verse, but that's in Matthew chapter. Yep, I left out the verse. I can't remember. Can't remember where that is. And it's in Matthew chapter 8. No, that's not right. I'll have to go back and find it. But in any case, in John chapter 14, verse 12, he says it a different way. He says, truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these will he do, because I go to the Father. We're to give out of what we've been given. We're to do what Jesus did and say what Jesus said. And then we're to love as he loved. He says that in John 13, 34, and 35. I know you get tired of hearing this. I quote it all the time. One of my favorites. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another even as I have loved you. So also you love one another. And of course, the follow-up verse is, that's how people are going to know who you are. That's how people are going to know that you belong to me, because you love each other that way. And then the third way that we follow Jesus' teachings here is that we share the good news. We share the gospel. We share what it is that he's done. As he's commissioning the disciples just before he ascends into heaven in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, he says that you'll receive power from the Holy Spirit when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you will be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and even to the remotest parts of the earth. And that's exactly what they did. And that calling still goes with today. We are blessed with the greatest blessing of all time, and our job is to go share it. We're blessed to be a blessing. Now I know everybody in here is facing a challenge. Everybody in here has got something in their life that don't feel very much like a blessing. And I'm not going to tell you that it is. That's between you and God to work out. But those things scream for our attention, whether it's financial, whether it's relationships, whether it's our physical health or our disability. It's easy to focus on those things, especially when they're screaming for attention. Sometimes literally. But what we have to do is we have to choose to focus on what God has done. We have to choose to focus on our blessings. And it's intentional. If we allow things to take their course, we'll be focusing on those things that are demanding our attention. But we have to intentionally choose, I'm going to remember and I'm going to rejoice in what God has done for me. And I'm going to take out of that and I'm going to share it. Because we are abundantly blessed. Our poorest people in this country are rich by comparison to the rest of the world. We live in a world of modern conveniences that would have seemed like magic a century ago. And yeah, disability is tough, but there has never been a better time to be disabled. All of the modern technology and the things that make it possible for us to live normal lives didn't exist not too long ago. And we've had a lesson about the freedoms that we have living in this country, that we get to choose our leaders. You know, the primaries are coming up. We've already talked a little bit about you know, go make your choices. Go stand up for what's right. If you don't like what's happening come November, don't let it be because you didn't have a voice right now. We can still mostly practice our faith. If we don't want to lose any more ground, get up and do what we need to do. Be good stewards of what God's given us. We're blessed with freedom. Use it to be a blessing to generations to come. Use it wisely because God has given it to us. And finally, and most important, our own salvation. There is no greater blessing than that, and there's none so undeserved. And yet, here we are. That ought to drive us, and I'm speaking to myself too, that ought to drive us from morning till night. The realization of what He's done for us ought to drive us to do what He has called us to do, and to make sure that everybody who could possibly receive that blessing comes along with us. Freely we have received, freely give. We're not getting younger here. Our circumstances are changing. We're not able to do some of the things that we used to do. And society tends to value us less, seems to value us less. And yet, we have the opportunity to make more meaningful contributions at this point in our lives. And I realize I'm speaking as possibly the youngest person in here today, but we have the opportunity now to make the most meaningful contributions to those around us that we ever have in our lifetime. Because you can share from a lifetime of knowledge and experience, wisdom that you have gained. And the next generation desperately needs that. Even if they don't know it yet. One of the things that you're likely to have more of is time. When it comes to the time, when it comes to the age that you're not having to work anymore. If you don't have to do traditional work, that means you have more time. I realize, sometimes that's because we've got disability knocking at our door. But make use of that extra time that you have to do things that really matter to God's kingdom. You have more time to give to the people and causes that really matter because they help people. I don't ever plan to retire personally. I hope someday that I can stop doing what I'm doing today and go do things I'd rather be doing, but I don't ever plan to quit. I hope someday to work for greater things. But if all you have to do is play, you're soon going to get bored. Just ask any kid. We got to be about something. That's how we're made. Give out of the knowledge that you have. You know, we love to tell others what we know. And sometimes this may not be as much as we think it is. But we love to tell people what we know. But let's take that then to the next level. Because, you know, we have this great megaphone now called the internet. You can just yell all you want to. But unless you take time to invest in the people around you and actually teach them what you know, just telling them is a waste of your time. Going beyond knowledge to wisdom is the goal. Some of us have resources that we can give. All of us have love that we can give. And we've just studied how that love for God translates into love for our neighbor. He loved us with his life, and we are called to love others with the same intensity. Boy, that's scary. It's scary, but it's also very rewarding. It ought to make us weep that anyone is not coming with us into the kingdom of God. Salvation is the greatest blessing that we have. And because without what he did for us, none of this means anything. We're wasting our time. Go home and watch football. And our lives are forfeit. But he didn't leave us there. He made a way. And there is no greater thing with which we can bless others than to share that which he has given us. And that's what God has called us all to do. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you that you're so patient with us. That you love us so much that you're giving us time. You're giving us room to grow. You're showing us little by little the truth that we need to know. You're putting us in a position where we're going to be ready and able to fulfill the calling that you have placed on our lives. Show us, Lord, how to take the manifold blessings that you have poured out on us and share them with those around us. In Jesus' name, amen.